I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
In Icelandic, can you say... You're listening to Wicked Problems.
Þú ert að hlusta á erfið vandamál.
Fantastic.
We shouldn't be afraid of being courageous and open ourselves up to opportunities. It's the only way we're going to tackle some of the biggest problems on this planet. And we have to embrace all of them, even the people we don't agree with. We have to basically open our hearts to all of these different opinions and not be judgmental, because there's room enough for everyone in this future. Being nominated by Prince William and the whole Earthshot team for the solution and how it addresses reductions in air pollution is a phenomenal stepping stone for Enzo to talk about the problem and also showcase how we solve it by making a better product.
I'm Richard Delavan. Welcome back to Wicked Problems. And I'm here with G from Enzo Tires, because I'm going to ask him to pronounce his own first name, but he asks everyone to call him G. G, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. So my full name is Gunnlaugur Pétur Erlendsson, and I've shortened it to one letter and the rest is silent, because it just makes my life a lot easier.
Well, I hope you can forgive my monoglot hosting skills or lack thereof, but... Yeah, I'm not going to try to repeat that just now. I think I tried using some Icelandic on you when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, and you were like, sorry, what? 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 No. So look, thanks so much for being here. You guys have had an absolutely tremendous year, but just for people who are not completely familiar with Enzo Tires and yourself, how did you come to be doing it, and what is Enzo Tires for?
Well, basically, Enzo makes better tires for electric vehicles to extend EV range and also to reduce tire pollution. And the reason we're focusing on tire pollution is that tires are one of the biggest sources of air pollution and microplastic pollution on the planet. And we want to make sure that we make electric vehicles more successful by making them go further on a single charge. But we shouldn't forget they still run on four tires that wear down, generating all this pollution. And that's where Enzo steps in to solve both an efficiency problem, durability problem, but move the tire industry forward towards better products and ultimately to decarbonization.
And so why is tire pollution, is it more of a problem with EVs because of other certain factors? I mean, what is it that, you know, the urgent problem that you need to exist to help solve?
So the urgent problem is of course, climate change. We need to make sure that electric vehicles become successful and are affordable to operate. So when we make our tires more energy efficient, ultra energy efficiency for EVs is great. Most of the energy losses with an EV at slow speeds is actually through the tires, not through the aerodynamics. So when we're driving in cities at around 40 miles an hour or slower, depending on the shape of the vehicle and aerodynamics, you know, the tire is where these energy losses are being occurred. So as we make the tire effectively better, we make EVs go further, we save you kilowatts per kilometer, meaning that you save money. So for a fleet or an individual, it's a cost saving from basically using less electricity. And of course, that makes EVs more successful at scale. But we, as we said, you know, the key thing is that a tire will wear down. We can't make a tire last forever. That's just not opportunity at the moment. We can, however, make them last a lot longer than they currently do. And it's about changing the incentives within the industry. So when you look at physics, heavy cars wear tires faster. And when you brake, accelerate, or turn, there's a lot of friction that is generated that just creates this fine microscopic dust of all vehicles, whether they're even your shoes will wear down as you run, accelerate, or turn. So, but of course, when you increase the mass on those tires, they wear down faster, or the volume of pollution grows. So, of course, an SUV will wear tires faster on average than a lighter vehicle. And of course, we know that electric vehicles are heavier than their same-sized counterparts. So I think it's a bit unfair saying electric vehicles are worse or better. They're neither. But they still run on four tires that wear down,
right,
just like any other vehicle does as well. So ultimately, the way we need to address the solution is to say that how do we make the product better,
mm-hmm,
while, of course, making electrification successful?
And so how long have you been set up? You mean, this is something that, first of all, how did you come to this? Like, of all the things you could be working on, then, you know, you decided to work on tires. Why is that?
Well, I got into this industry completely by accident. Before that, I was in private equity and venture capital. But basically, what I was, when I got exposed to this industry, you saw that this is an industry where innovation just wasn't occurring at the pace needed. We had, of course, the advent of electric vehicles happening. We had Dieselgate, so the tailpipe was becoming the focal point of pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been addressed by simply getting rid of it. And that's great, because we want to basically minimize carbon emissions everywhere where we can. And, of course, the tailpipe pollution was a complicated beast. The tire is effectively the last major source of pollution of most vehicles now, because tailpipes have gotten to the stage where, apart from the carbon emissions, the pollution they generate, air pollution, is being curtailed. So when I got in this industry, what I found was interesting is that on one hand, you've got a handful of companies that drive the innovation, and they're basically a handful,
mm-hmm,
five. You've got, however, a million middlemen who are basically selling the product to the end customers. Because these guys don't really sell the product to you, they sell it through this ecosystem.
Right.
And of course, both the manufacturers of tires today and the distributors of tires today, whether they want to or not, are focused on churn. They want tires to move, and for them to increase revenues is to sell more tires. If you want to sell more tires, you don't necessarily want them to last too long, and you don't necessarily want to invest more to make them more expensive to make either.
Mm-hmm.
So the conflict here isn't really about technology. The technology exists already today, and with Enzo, we've shown we can increase the range and reduce the tire pollution already. This is why we were nominated by Prince William for the Earthshot Prize. And so if a small company like Enzo can really change the needle, or move the needle, that is, and change the dynamic here, then of course it means that, of course, other industry players can do the same.
Right.
So fundamentally, you have to look at Enzo has been looked at as a, how do we develop a better solution for the 21st century, focus on electric cars? So we started with Enzo saying, look, let's change the business model to make that enable the change on the product side. And so to some extent, we're a bit like Tesla. We focus on electrification.
Mm.
We sell directly to customers. And when we do so, we harvest the data from that vehicles to further improve the business model and the product.
Okay.
And that basically is what makes us unique, in the sense that we are focused, of course, on the eventual end outcome of what the product does, because we want to make sure that we enable electric vehicles to be successful while reducing the pollution that comes off.
Right. So there has been some other people paying attention to a similar to this issue as well. Now, people talk about graphene, adding that in, a couple of grams into the tire mix.
Yeah.
Is that the secret sauce for you guys as well? I mean, what's the special ingredient that helps to extend life?
Well, it's a combination of different raw materials for different attributes. So there's a lot of novel chemistry, a lot of higher grade raw materials becoming available that drive efficiency, durability, or simply improve the sustainability metrics of the tire by reducing the carbon impact from those raw materials upstream. Ultimately, it's about finding the best performance for those vehicles. If I can extend the range and the durability while using lower carbon-emitting materials, mm-hmm. that's great. The key thing, of course, is that it's not just one thing. It's not just one product, one raw material, or even just standalone the business model. It's a combination. So when we set up Enzo, we focused on building a whole ecosystem to change the tire industry. We realized that a single change will not change everything. You have to look at this holistically. And we created, effectively, Enzo as a circular economy-based company. Mm-hmm. This means that we effectively look to produce a better product, have it last longer, and then take it back at the end of life and recycle it back into tires. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate goal of Enzo. But our goal is not just one thing. It's about how do we, wherever we can, drive innovation and technology to basically make this change happen faster. Because, of course, the tire industry is developing technologies, but we can't wait 20 years for this to happen.
Right.
We don't want, of course, to limit electric vehicles being successful, nor do we want to be choking on tire pollution from whatever vehicle is driving.
And it's something that, sorry if I'm preaching the gospel of graphene, it's something that we're talking to John Hartley from Lividian, who helped produce a lot of that. So yeah, that's an episode that will have just come out, I think, before this one. So yeah, that's
and
part of...
And we know them really well. We've looked at their material and still it is... I can't comment on what we're doing with them, but... It's very interesting.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, look, I mean, and you mentioned it already. You've kind of spoiled it, the spoiler alert on the fact that the Earthshot Prize was a big part of your year. So tell us from the beginning, like it's, I think you and I met at Stephen Murphy's Climate Impact event with Akshat Rathi's launching his Climate Capitalism book. So, but, and I said, therefore, I can claim to have known you before you were on the stage there in Singapore. But tell us from the beginning, how did you get nominated? What was that like? Take us through the process.
Well, I mean, being nominated by Prince William and the whole Earthshot team for the solution and how it addresses reductions in air pollution is a phenomenal stepping stone for Enzo to talk about the problem and also showcase how we solve it by making a better product. And of course, the background to this is that recently, of course, it's been highlighted that we're breathing more air pollution, PM2.5 and PM10s, from tires than tailpipes. So already when we're walking around here in London, and this is according to data here in the UK, but similar data across the world, is that tire pollution is really now the biggest unregulated source of air pollution. Now, that's bad because the technology exists to make tires last a lot longer. And therefore, if we could make those tires successful at scale, we would cut down on this air pollution substantially. But this is also a microplastic. It's one of the biggest sources of primary microplastic pollution on the planet. And it's also toxic. So when we were recognized by the Earthshot Prize in the air pollution category or clean our air category, it was simply a direct relation to the technology we were able to showcase how we cut this pollution. But of course, we are also cutting other metrics in terms of microplastics and toxicity, and of course, making the tire last longer simply reduces the waste as well. So the process was we were nominated by both Cranfield University and Tech Nation. The selection process was intense. There were 1,100 companies nominated. And you have to be nominated. It's not like you can apply.
Right.
You get kind of a tap on your shoulder by a limited group of entities on this planet that say, we would like to put our credibility on the line by nominating you. So you have to first go through that filter. And then you get whittled down to the final 15, so less, just about 1% of the nominees. And of course, what happens then is that they give you a discreet call and tell you, swear you to silence of the pain of death, or at least a visit to the Tower of London. And you then basically have to hold on to this secret until you're able to make the public announcement, which is months down the road. So for me, it was like one of those amazing moments is that they say, you're on the list. So we're not really a finalist even at this stage. They then scrutinize you. They ask for due diligence and all kinds of background material more than any investor that has any invested in us so far. So to understand the scrutiny, because we're not, of course, being investigated whether we're a good company. We're also being investigated from, you know, do we echo the mission statement of what the Earthshot Prize is about, and do we basically gel with the overall
right.
targets that they have, which is to bring optimism and solutions that help solve major climatic problems. Of course, we're the only B Corp in the tire industry, so we had already succeeded in scaling that mountain, which I think helped a lot in our nomination as well. Mm. And then, of course, this goes on for months on end until you're whittled down. And we were told in July, early July, that we were in the final 15, and I started to cry because I was so happy that we had been, you know, one of the select few. And so that was just an amazing day. And again, we couldn't really tell anyone. So it's a bit like getting this biggest prize on the planet, and you're not able to tell anyone for 2.5 months.
And that, I mean, gosh, and you, I mean, yeah, imagine there must be people in life who you also have swore to secrecy, although, you know, perhaps you were able to just keep it. If you ever had the discipline to keep it to yourself entirely for all that time, my hat's off to you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Because I don't think I could have.
It's kind of hard because suddenly they send a film crew to film you everywhere. So you have to then find a way to, you know, address that point. So people start to get a bit suspicious what's going on. Mm. Of course, you had to include the core team and you have to prepare. And so you're then in yet another cycle where you get ready or ready-fied effectively for this. We did an interview with the BBC. We did a whole host of things, all preliminary before the announcement. Mm. And then, of course, we're invited to come to New York Climate Week, to the plaza with Mike Bloomberg and every major backer of the Earthshot Prize. And it was a phenomenally positive experience that suddenly, you know, they announced the new finalists. And I can't really explain what the feeling is like of seeing your company on the screens there. But it was just one of the best days of my life. And then, of course, you're suddenly under scrutiny by the world's media. Mm. And to be an Earthshot, which we are now, having been nominated for the prize, means that we are now taken, our technology has gone through an extreme vetting process, our company has gone through an extreme vetting process, and individuals, including myself and my team, have gone through almost like an in-depth background check. So for us, that is such a validation of us on many different levels. And then to be invited in the room where it happens is truly just brilliant because the challenges we have, of course, with Enzo is we're solving a problem nobody knows about.
Right. Because I think that's something that when we spoke about this, I certainly was not aware, and I'm not, you know, not an expert, but I'm also probably on the high end of the terms of lay people, like some knowledge about lots about a small amount about a lot of things. But in terms of its impact of being the, you know, biggest contributor, unregulated contributor to air pollution in cities, I mean, some of the air quality stats around London, you know, some of that stuff is just stunning. So, I mean, how did people react? Your Mike Bloomberg's of the world, that, you know, when you're making this pitch or you're explaining this to them, you know, I mean, were there a lot of jaws dropping and people going, I really had no idea?
Yeah, I mean, when we say you're breathing more tailpipe, tire dust than tailpipe dust already in most urban settings, people are very surprised. When we then say there's no law against making it that bad, while we've regulated tailpipe out of existence, is interesting for people to understand because it affects them personally. You know, we can't choose, oh my God, I don't know what happened there. I think it's the setting. We can't choose when we breathe the air. It's not an option. So for us, that we're exposed to this means that people feel it personally. And of course, you know, awareness and talking about the problem is absolutely key. We're in an industry that doesn't really want to address this head on and direct, or wants to say it in a way that, you know, that the technology doesn't exist to address it. Well, if we can do it as Enzo, then surely the rest of the industry can follow as well. And of course, with Mike Bloomberg's team, and you know, they have, of course, backed us amazingly in terms of awareness building. We've been speaking at some of the Bloomberg events recently about highlighting tire pollution, its effects as well, because it has multiple different aspects to the impact, whether it's the air pollution, the microplastic, the toxicity, and the biosphere overall. And of course, they're very focused on the Bloomberg team and Bloomberg Philanthropy in particular is very focused on supporting clean air in cities with the C40 group and a number of other people that are really trying to champion that most people now live in cities and, of course, are exposed to really harmful amount of air pollution, even if you don't see it. And there's a certain, I would say, element here is that because pollution we're targeting is so fine, it is invisible. Mm. We used to see smog and of course, and a lot of that type of air pollution has been addressed. Mm. But we don't see this hidden source of pollution. And I think that the awareness building for many of the things we do is key. So every chance we get to talk about the problem is a chance for us to talk about what the solutions are. And we're not going to stop driving. If I say often to people, if you don't want to generate tire pollution, that's fine. Just don't drive anywhere.
Right.
Or drive less. Drive more carefully. And make sure you buy the right tires. And it's interesting is that many of the scientists and other regulators that are looking to regulate this in the near future are now, of course, engaged with us on this topic as well, because we're sharing with them information and insights that I believe will hopefully be helpful. In terms of getting this awareness bit, because once you know about something, you can measure it. Once you measure it, you can regulate it. Once you can regulate it, the solution appears. And there's a fundamental point as well I want to fly here, is that the solution, as we present it, doesn't cost you anymore. It actually costs you less, because when we build a better product and sell it directly to customers, we can make it more affordable for you. So we're not saying that there's any kind of premium attached to it. What we're simply shifting is the business model that underpins it. And it's really that business model change that makes it all happen, because the technology exists to radically reduce tire pollution. It's just more profitable to sell more tires.
Right. So how? Tell me then, in terms, so that's, I think you've nicely summarized why there's a disincentives for incumbents to, you know, make a tire that lasts longer, whereas you don't have that legacy to cope with. So what has been, you know, what, first of all, what is the price point? I mean, like, roughly speaking, if I'm going to buy a pair, you know, a set of four tires from you, what's that going to cost me?
So for example, if we're selling at the moment to electric taxis and electric vans in London, because these are the vehicles that drive the most.
Right.
We have a high concentration of them because of congestion charging and ULEZ. So we've kind of, they're like gazelles at a watering hole. We all push them to the middle, and this is where the EVs roam. And so ultimately, it means that this is a customer group we can target directly and sell our products to. And we're working with some of the biggest EV fleets already, both here in the UK and in other countries, to adopt our solution onto their vehicles. When we do that, we're pricing our products at the moment at a 20% discount to the benchmark tire they're currently operating from. Hmm. while at the same time saving them electricity and saving them on buying fewer tires because they last longer. So you can imagine that I save the energy bill, I save you on buying when you buy the tires, and the tires last longer, so you buy fewer of them. So the TCO, the total cost of ownership savings that I deliver to these electric vehicle fleets and high mileage use cases mm-hmm. is substantial. Some of the calculations we've done show that the energy saving alone pays for the tires. So effectively, the tires are free, and they also, you know, you get a better operational capability at the same time because of the additional range. It's also important to note that the way we do this is all based on transparency and working with these operators. We harvest the data from these vehicles, and when we then, it's their data, we're not taking that away from them, they share it to us willingly, and we're able then to showcase clearly that when you do the switch, the cost savings are yours to keep. We just want the privilege to sell you a more affordable solution.
So, is it the case that then, I mean, so how do you gather the data? Are you bringing them people, are you bringing the black taxis and vans into a center? Do you have some sort of sensors that are on the vehicle itself? How are you gathering the data?
Well, most of the fleets already are capturing telematic data for their vehicles for multiple different reasons. So we most often just tap into that ecosystem. We can, of course, equip the vehicle separately with trackers and other data, but most of the times we don't need. The vehicles, the electric vehicles in particular, often have over-the-air connections that simply mean that you can tap onto them. So we're in a future now where everything is effectively connected. And that connectability and the ability to capture this core data gives us the insights to be able to say, this vehicle with this tire driven in these situations has saved this much money per mile. And that really is key here, because by reducing the operational costs and extending the operating window, we just make these EVs cheaper to run and more successful to operate.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
And so, and that's key.
And I think that, it's when you explain it like this, I could imagine, you know, that you must be pretty good in the pitcher room, because it's, once you explain it, it's sort of like, where's my checkbook? You know, what can I do to get involved in this? So, I mean, imagine getting this additional exposure, this additional vetting through the Earthshot process. I'm guessing we spoke a little bit about this in the green room. The interest, let's say, is probably higher than it was maybe before. I mean, so how busy are you right now, meeting VC, PE, various other people who try to throw money at you?
We're talking to a lot of great investors who really want to support our journey. We're still a very small company. We're doing effectively a funding extension round because of all the attention we got from Earthshot and the demand that it has generated. We're doing a mini round at the moment for about $5 million simply to buy more inventory so we can meet next year's demand. We've already announced as well on Bloomberg that our Series A will come up next year, and we're already speaking to investors both for the current inventory round and as well for the Series A for our expansion into California. We've already made an announcement we're opening into California next year with some great partners that want to support our journey there. Interestingly, California, by the way, is already now looking to regulate tires just like they regulated vehicles. And at the moment, the draft legislation in California, when you combine it, would consist of the strictest regulation in the world when it comes to the tire industry, almost going from 0 to 100 in a very short time. And this is, I think, driven principally because they realize that at the moment, particularly in the U.S. market, tires are not very efficient. So it means that when you come to replace the tires on your electric car, you have either the option of going into the Wild West and buying any tire that fits and having no idea how much range you're going to lose, or you have to basically go back to the OEM supplier and buy exactly the same tire that came with the vehicle. And even that is very hard. Because in America, unlike in Europe, there's no efficiency standard.
Right.
There's no labeling on the tire that tells you this is a good one or it's a bad one. It's a bit like buying a light bulb and not having any idea how much electricity it uses.
Right.
So ultimately, the California is going to go away from having no regulation to having a draft legislation, which we really support, which is not only going to require a labeling system, but also require that tires and vehicles are kept at their best efficiency throughout their life. Mm. And that's really what's needed when you consider that, you know, we still are using the same electricity grid in the future to charge all these electric cars. So we don't want to be wasting electricity too much on charging them. So effectively keeping the vehicle at its highest efficiency throughout the life is key. Right. And as we said, it doesn't have to cost you any more. It can actually cost you less to get a better solution.
Well, I imagine that's it sounds like the barrier to scaling is simply the, you know, getting your ducks in a row. I feel like so where do you do the manufacturing itself? Where does that happen?
So we're currently manufacturing out of a state-of-the-art facility, working with some great partners. It's a brand new factory. It's about 4 years old. And ultimately, within this facility, we're able to achieve these performance benefits, efficiency, better durability, and also move to more sustainable raw materials. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, of course, our ambition is actually to produce our products in our own facility. So we've already also stated that we're looking to construct our carbon neutral tire manufacturing plant, which would generate substantial volumes to supply our customers. That includes, of course, electric vehicle fleets that drive a lot and wear out tires really rapidly at the moment, as well as individual EV owners. And of course, we haven't decided where that could be based. The locations could be in Europe, it could also be in the United States or nearby. But we engage with a lot of partners that want to support us. So our journey right now, of course, is that putting more tires onto the vehicles, opening our toehold into the United States, particularly in California, where half of the EVs roam. Mm-hmm. And then we'll close the Series A to further escalate our product portfolio and our volumes. And then we're looking to fund effectively this manufacturing plant, which is a state-of-the-art, highly automated, servicing the best of breed technology, particularly in a market such as California, which is about to have, as I mentioned, now some of the latest regulations to basically drive efficiency and durability at the same time. And so for us, the opportunity we see in this industry is really to drive innovation. Finding the right partners and the right investors to do that, of course, is key. We're already talking to some premium A-listers in terms of investors. So we're looking to close funding with them very shortly. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's about finding friends, whether from the OEMs, the fleets. We run an open innovation platform where people can simply come to us and say, hey, I have an idea or I have a concept. We're always happy to talk because we want to drive change. And one of the examples of that as well is that at COP this year, we announced the target that we are going to fully decarbonize our entire products by 2030, meaning that the tires themselves would be carbon neutral, made in a carbon neutral tire manufacturing facility, which we have in our crosshairs already. And this is two decades ahead of the rest of the tire industry in terms of its ambition.
Right.
So the technology exists to do that today. It's only a question of building the right partnerships, the funding partners, and then the fleet operators, and then service everyone who owns an EV.
So it does sound like you're going to break our hearts and you're not going to be manufacturing here in the UK with the state-of-the-art facility. But I suppose it's like you're in a position of like a lot of founders, a lot of CEOs, where, you know, you have to go where the business logic takes you. So do you anticipate there's going to be a bidding war for where, you know, the incentives that people are going to stump up to help you decide where to put your factory?
Well, I don't want to say it's not going to be in the UK. We're a London-based, we're the only urban tire company there is. And of course, London is at the heart of everything we've done. The UK is where we were born. So I don't want to say that we are not going to make it in the UK. It's option. It's, however, of course, there's a lot of support, of course, on the other side of the Atlantic.
Yep.
The Inflation Reduction Act, the Department of Energy and other partners are looking at driving efficiency. And if we forget about the tire, we may end up with a lot of EVs, but over time they get less and less efficient, which will limit how successfully and either drive costs or limit their operational window. So ultimately, of course, where we end up producing at scale is a good question. We are not limited to building only one manufacturing plant. We have actually explored building more than one. However, of course, we have to start by building the template of how we will scale going forward. And of course, Earthshot and all the partners that we have been engaging with and since then are really, I think, pushing us forward to actually move faster. So the key thing for me right now is to work with the right partners, build the right solution, but also give hope and inspiration that this industry can change, because we've shown that we, if we are able to do it, therefore the others should as well. And of course, it's going to be easier for a vertically integrated company, just like it was easier for Tesla and Rivian and others to enter a new technology with new markets, engaging directly with those customers. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that this can't play out better and positively. We're not going to make every tire on the planet. But if we can move the industry a step forward, that itself would be a huge win for the environment. And of course, it's about building that optimism that it can work. And of course, this is an industry that makes 2 billion products on the planet every year. Right. But the technology exists to make 1 billion tires on this planet. If everyone used the state-of-the-art technology, that would halve the air pollution. That would halve the waste. It would halve the microplastic pollution. It would halve a number of the other impacts, the raw material demand as well. And this is really where we see ourselves going forward, is that this is going to be a long journey. We do it with friends, and then we basically are able to work with the community of EV owners, OEMs, fleets, and the tire industry to take a step forward and change.
Okay. Well, we could go on for really quite a long time. And so, I mean, so I think that we're going to keep tabs on the story. We're going to keep following you guys, what you're going to be up to next year. It's such an exciting time, and we're delighted you could make the time to join us. Before I let you go, the one thing we do ask every guest who comes on the program is to, and I know you didn't have time to do your homework because you're a busy man, but in terms of anything that you've read or watched or listened to that has inspired you on your journey, you know, we call them catalysts, things that have changed your point of view about climate, got you interested, changed your views on business, how you run your company, climate tech, etc. So a couple of thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. I would go back to what we did at the Earthshot. So we were taken aside. We were given a who's who list of people to talk to as part of the retreat we did before the Earthshot event itself, Earthshot Week in Singapore. And we met some really inspiring people throughout that. And there was one person in particular that really inspired me. And actually, it's my fellow countryman. It's a woman called Hatla Tomasdottir. And she runs the B team, if you know who they are. And she taught me something extremely valuable that I perhaps had been doing, but hadn't been quite understanding how powerful it is. And it's really to speak from the heart. And, you know, if we let the heart guide us in our decision-making, and allow ourselves to be open and vulnerable, but also courageous and ambitious in what we really want to achieve, we can actually move mountains, because people really follow not just the mind, but the heart is really what decides our journey, whether we realize it or not. So for me, the opportunity to really express openly our ambition, our mission, our view on how we can work together on this planet to make it a much better place to live is really what has inspired me lately. And we did a session like this with key decision makers in Dubai at COP. And I have to express that I just want to do it again, because once you open yourself up to people, to let them in to see what you're doing and open it with your heart, people come with the most positive experiences back to you. And I can only say that we should do more of that. We shouldn't be afraid of being courageous and open ourselves up to opportunities. It's the only way we're going to tackle some of the biggest problems on this planet. And we have to embrace all of them, even the people we don't agree with. We have to basically open our hearts to all of these different opinions and not be judgmental, because there's room enough for everyone in this future. There's room enough for everyone on this planet. It's going to be a great, beautiful world that we'll build over the next few years. But we have to start now to talk from the heart.
Well, I think that's a great place to end it. And last thing before I let you go, G, can you do us one favor? In Icelandic,
yes, sir.
In Icelandic, can you say, you're listening to Wicked Problems?
Þú ert að hlusta á erfið vandamál.
Fantastic. I hope it really means that, and you haven't done me a dirty, and that's something else in there. But G, from Enso Tires, I can't thank you enough. Really, really enjoyed our chat. And I can't wait to meet up again soon before you are off to sunny California.
Thanks so much. It's great to see you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to our conversation with G. I'm still not going to try to pronounce it. We wish you a very Merry Christmas from all of us here at Wicked Problems. And because there's no rest for the Wicked Problems, we are, of course, going to be putting out additional content over this break week for most of you. And of course, it's also a good time and still time left to purchase a gift subscription at news.wickedproblems.uk. You can get our newsletter. We might even have a special something for you if you do. Thanks for listening.
Þú ert að hlusta á Erfið Vandamál.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.